OpenServe is more than just SA's largest telecoms infrastructure provider. It's the answer to new ways of doing business, a connection to cutting-edge technology and infinite possibilities, a connection to tomorrow. Connect with us at openserve.co.za.
This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on an internet call now with James Patterson, CEO of a very interesting company called Aerobotics, which has developed technology it says will change the face of farming. James, welcome to the podcast. You guys offer solutions in the field of what's called precision agriculture. Aerobotics is able to detect early pest and disease problems in crops and trees using drones and satellite imagery. First of all, how did this business get its start?
Great. Well, firstly, it's fantastic to be on the show with you and to tell you a bit more about Aerobotics. We started around 4 years ago between myself and a good friend of mine from university called Benji Malta. And my background, I grew up on a farm in the Clan William area, a citrus farm. But I was always an engineer, so I went on to study aeronautical and astronautical engineering at MIT, where I did a lot of work on the drone and AI side. And then post my master's there, I met up with Benji Malta, who had just done a master's in neurotechnology at Imperial. So he was very good at extracting information from noisy data. The two of us got together to use this new technology to solve problems on the farms.
Wow, indeed. So when was this business started? 2014?
2014, yes, late 2014.
Okay, did you guys work in corporate at all before this? Did you finish your studies and go straight into this, James?
I went straight into it, yes. Mm-hmm. Benji had done a bit of work with the Syest Corporation and at Uber. He was working on data analytics and data science for Uber. This is essentially my first job.
Okay. Well, James, how does the technology work exactly? Let's say I'm an avocado farmer from Limpopo. How would this technology benefit me?
Well, let me explain how the seasonal service works, for example. So what will happen is we'll collect data, weekly data from satellites, as well as high-resolution drone imagery throughout the season. So the drone collects visual and multispectral imagery of the orchards. We then use artificial intelligence to process that imagery, detect every tree on the farm, and then turn that tree into a data point, essentially. So for each tree, we measure the height, canopy area, and volume, so the size of that tree, and then also the health levels of the tree and whether anything's affecting it. So we can now monitor that tree, compare it to other trees in the orchard, or compare it over time, its growth and how its health levels are doing.
You say multi-spectral. What does that mean exactly?
Yes. So that's essentially imagery that we capture with a special camera. Yep. But it's important for detecting things about the plant, but it's not visible to us as humans. So essentially, as humans, we see in red, green, and blue, RGB imagery.
Yep.
And then this multispectral camera goes down to what's called the near-infrared range and the red edge range that picks up, we can correlate that to plant stress and to plant chlorophyll levels, for example.
Okay. And you then take this imagery and you say you feed it into artificial intelligence system. How does that work exactly? What is the AI doing?
So the AI works similar to the way a human would work. So we actually teach the software. We take drone in, and then it gets fed into this artificial intelligence system that we've put together that learns to firstly identify trees, and then it's also learned the same way a human expert would to identify trees that are sick and that are under stress. So what's quite exciting there is that the more data we feed through this platform, the more powerful it becomes and the more it can actually tell the farmer.
So it's a self-learning system as well?
Correct, yes. It's a self-learning system. And then what's great is that this system links to an in-field data collection application that the farmers use to go out into the field and collect data, which generates great reports for them, but it also feeds back into this learning system to keep improving it.
So you use a combination of satellite imagery and drone footage. Which satellite do you use as a matter of interest? I'm imagining this is a specialized satellite. And what sort of different data sets do you get back from the satellite and from drones?
Yeah, so the satellite, it is a specialized agricultural satellite from the European Space Agency. There's actually two of them up, which means that we can get data of anywhere in the world every 5 days, mm-hmm. get an update. And as I mentioned, on this drone camera, we're getting the red, green, blue, and then this red edge and near-infrared channel. Mm-hmm. We get the same multispectral imagery from the satellite plus a few others. So it goes down to the thermal bands as well. So essentially, the satellite will provide us with 12 different data layers, red, green, blue, red edge, near infrared, and a whole lot of different spectrums of light that it's detecting.
Mm-hmm. So you presented at a conference last week, and I believe you made some big announcements there. And I'm quoting here from the release, you can do leaf-by-leaf drone scouting that gives farmers access to artificial intelligence that detects the exact problems impacting their trees. Is this what we've just been speaking about? Is this a new offering that you've introduced?
So that's a new offering that's running, but it's running at an early stage. And as I mentioned, it becomes more powerful with more data. But just to compare what we've been talking about to this new technology, satellite imagery is fairly low resolution. So the data we're using at the moment is at a 10-meter resolution, which includes generally about 15 to 20 trees within one pixel. Then if we take it down to the tree-by-tree drone imagery, that's obviously monitoring each tree, and we can detect trees that have problems, but not necessarily exactly what's causing the problem. So now with this drone scouting that we've released, we get extremely high resolution photos that's under a millimeter resolution, and we can start detecting pest and disease damage on the leaves or on the fruits. And we're also looking to count things like flowers and fruits, leading towards yield estimation. So it's quite exciting what we can do with an increased resolution, and it's sort of another level of insight we can go into above the drone mapping and satellite data.
I imagine you're using very specialized camera equipment on these drones, but the drones themselves, are they also specialized, or are they standard consumer drones?
They're standard drones with the standard visual camera on the drone,
yeah,
which we're using for this drone scouting. So that's quite exciting, because we can use an off-the-shelf drone, and our software will fly the drone, tell it where to take the photos, and then do the analysis. So it's really quite scalable, and we see quite soon that every farmer will be having one of these drones on the farm,
yeah,
because it's so low cost.
So, James, do you send out your own drones to farmers and help them, do the analysis of their fields, or are farmers able to use their own drones in combination with this technology?
Yeah, so we do cater for both options. We've got quite a few clients that already have a drone or want to fly the drone themselves. In that case, as I mentioned, we write the software application that will fly the drone automatically for them and collect all the necessary data. We handle the software side. Or for farmers that don't want to do that and just want to use the data to make management decisions and the platform for pest and disease scouting, we provide a seasonal service where we've linked up with drone operators around the country that will arrive at the farm for the farmer, collect all the data, and then we handle the processing and the interaction with the client. So there is the option to just go for a full service solution, or the do-it-yourself option.
I know that you have global ambitions. Are most of your clients in South Africa for now, or have you got clients around the world?
Yeah, most of our clients are here in South Africa. This is obviously where we started and where we've put most of our marketing and sales efforts in. but we do have clients in 11 countries around the world, and we're actively pushing into the US. So we've got people on the ground working for us in the US to take our product to the market there.
Do you work directly in other markets, or are you looking for partners?
We're directly in the US, where we're focusing our efforts, and then in other markets, we'd like to go with partners into those markets. So that's the way we've been doing it so far.
Now, does the technology work only with trees, or can it be applied to any crop?
The technology at its base works across any crop, so it will be able to detect regions in the field that are under stress. But to really track each plant over time, so to identify each tree and track that and compare it as a data point against others, we are focusing in the tree crop space and in the vineyard space to track each plant.
But it could equally be applied to a mealie field, could it?
It could, but not from our company in the next sort of year or two. There's still so much we've got to do in the tree space. Mm-hmm. And it also makes so much sense in the tree space because you've got it's a high-value crop.
Yep.
And the time it takes to cover the hectares with drones makes sense. In the field crop space, we've got what we call a smart scouting package that links the satellite data through to field scouting, and that generally is a great product for the field crop space. But in terms of the drone side, that makes more sense in the high value crops and tree crops.
Is there any sense in applying this technology down the line to livestock as well, or would that be better managed through a different solution?
No, it's got great applications for livestock, game counting, as well as a whole lot of other industries like in the mining space or obviously the security space. And it's interesting where we came from. At the start, we actually worked on all those different industries. So we were in the mining industry, we were in the game counting industry where we wrote some software for doing that. But we realized that to add enough value to our clients, we really have to focus. So that's why we cut those out as we went along, and we focused just in the agricultural space. And as I mentioned now, even just within the high value crops. And there's still so much more to do within agriculture that I think our company won't go back to one of those other industries.
Yeah.
But there's a great opportunity for another player to come in to do a livestock counting or
sure.
game counting solution.
Sure. There's a lot of hype around the Internet of Things in the agriculture space, particularly for doing things like game and livestock tracking. In the space that you're focused in, is there an application for IoT as a complementary technology to what you guys do?
Yeah, there's already a lot of IoT in the agricultural space. People use irrigation probes, which is basically a probe planted in the soil that measures when water is at different levels, and it transmits that back to the office generally, where the farmer can see his irrigation levels and manages irrigation based on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's another quite a few other solutions out there that will say track the farmer's tractors, so they can monitor whether applications have been done correctly and which fields have been applied and things like that. So yes, definitely a lot of complementary technology. We're not looking to solve the whole farming problem. We're looking specifically to monitor the orchard and then basically an early alert system so that the farmer can make a correction before losing yield or before having damage to the yield.
So maybe take us through a few case studies then, James. What are some of the problems or common diseases that you've been able to detect through this technology which the farmers perhaps haven't detected? And what has that meant for yields and for their ability to solve the problem?
Yeah, so there's two main areas where we add value to the farmer. The first is on this monitoring of the trees. So, for example, Phytophthora is a root disease that causes a lot of damage across industries like citrus, macadamias, and avocados, which our system easily detects. Other problems like starch accumulation in mandarin oranges is quite easily detectable. So on a tree by tree level, we'll point out trees that have a problem that the farmer can correct.
Right.
And generally, each tree is an asset that generates between sort of 800 to 1,000 rand per year to the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really something valuable that we're pointing out to them. So that's the first part. Secondly, with our scouting system, it's about managing your pests and disease that affect the fruit. So in general, things like thrips or bollworm cause around 15% damage to the fruit industry. And those are the types of problems we're detecting early that the farmer can make an application based on data to correct the issue.
All right. And I guess the return on investment is going to be quite high. I see the pricing looks pretty aggressive. You're talking for your seasonal drone service, 40 rands per hectare per month.
Yeah.
I'm not in the space, but that sounds pretty cheap to me.
Yes, it is cheap. I mean, if you compare it to farming costs or to the revenue that you're generating from that orchard, it is cheap. But at the moment, we're trying to not make price a barrier to entry for these farmers. We want to make sure everyone is starting to use this to making the most out of improving their yields and the quality of those yields using this. So in terms of us making money as a company, it will come at scale.
Right. You also offer a free tier, I believe, for farmers who just want to check out the technology.
Exactly. So it's a freemium model. We don't want anyone not trying out some form of this technology. So the free tier has the weekly satellite updates on crop health, where you can see areas of your crop that are under stress. It's not going to point out individual trees,
mm-hmm.
but that then links through to an infield scouting application that guides you to those regions that are under stress, and you can make the can do the interpretation in the field and make the correction, as well as your weekly pest and disease scouting. So we've made that system completely free, and then once farmers start using that, they'll quickly see the benefits and what this drone solution provides, and we're hoping most people will upgrade from there.
Yeah. Now, I believe you've partnered with Nedbank. What is their involvement, and who are the investors in this business?
Well, Nedbank is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a multi-level partnership with Nedbank. They've invested in our business in our last funding round, which is very important for a technology business, because you're often developing this technology with your clients, but before you've got scale of people actually paying for this. So you need capital to develop as you grow. So that's been fantastic. And then on the business side of things, the business banking side, we've really been working with them to take value to their clients, but then also to allow them to understand their clients better. So which farmers are actively using this technology to reduce their risk, those will be the more attractive farmers to target as the bank. And then finally, we're in the early stage of investigating using this type of data for making financial decisions from the bank's point of view. So we're obviously monitoring each tree on the farm and how that tree is performing. Can the bank use that information to make a more attractive offer to the farmer based on data?
Okay. So if he was selling his farm, he could have a better idea of what the value of those fields is.
Yes, he could do that. Or if he's applying for a loan, for example, that loan is obviously priced on risk. So if the bank has a better understanding of the risk profile of that farmer, they can potentially make a more attractive offer to the farmer than before. So it's really a win-win for the farmer and the bank.
Yeah. Now, we touched a little bit earlier on in the discussion about you're expanding into the U.S. But maybe if you could just maybe talk a little bit about how you see this business expanding in the coming years on the global stage. Are you focusing on a specific area in the States to start with?
Yes, our focus is on the tree crop space.
Mm-hmm.
So we are obviously heavily involved in the South African market. And then in the US market, the main targets for us are currently Florida and California, which mm-hmm. is initially. And those are almost like the size of the South African industry each.
Wow.
So that's our initial target, and then spread to the US actively. So hiring people out in the field to take our product to the market there. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in other markets, so in South America and in Mexico and Portugal, Spain, for example, we are working through partners to get into those markets and looking for new partners.
Mm. You don't necessarily have to put your own teams on the ground in every market you go into, right?
Exactly. So our own teams are currently just sitting in South Africa and the US. And then the other markets, because we're a software as a service, we can have people flying these off-the-shelf drones in any country in the world, upload the data to our cloud platform, and it handles the analysis and the artificial intelligence and provides that data back to the client.
Do you do all the dev work in Cape Town?
All the dev work is done here in Cape Town, yeah. We've got a team of just over 30 people, mm-hmm. And about half of that is data science and development.
Mm-hmm. And do you see it in the long term remaining a South African-based company?
So I see our main development still staying here in South Africa. Obviously, it's attractive. There's a lot of talent. We've got all the talent we need here in South Africa. And if we can get revenue in external countries like the US, that would really be a big benefit, that combination.
James Patterson is co-founder and CEO of Aerobotics. This has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
Thank you. It was great to be here.